In Africa today, a new generation of poets and musicians are shaping debates around popular culture in the same way their ancestors did.
We're on a similar mission to elevate the continent, to bring good music to the people.
Next time, better. The Lord is still my shepherd. Upon GB and the crossing.
But today's folk music is hip hop, a dynamic combination of politically charged lyrics and infectious beats, which evolved on the streets of New York in the 1970s and rapidly became an anthem for youth rebellion.
I think hip-hop has two responsibilities. You had to have a beat that moved your neck, and you had to have words that inspire you to go with the flow.
In Africa, artists localized hip-hop music to express their own hopes and frustrations.
Your mother didn't like it, your dad didn't like it, because they're thinking, what is this, them just making noise? It's just rebel music.
Basically, hip-hop is black punk rap. It's an aggressive, street-based music that anyone can do.
Although a lot of African hip-hop has grown to celebrate excess and loves showing off its bling factor, just like its American counterpart, it has become the music of both aspiration and discontent.
I definitely developed that belief that the music could help affect change.
I'm Afua Hirsch, and as a descendant of African immigrants, I grew up with African music, especially highlife, all around. But growing up in London in the 80s and 90s, hip-hop was still the sound of the streets.
See, I just came back from Ghana.
Really?
And I want to share this dance that everyone was doing over there.
More recently, living in Accra, Ghana, and regularly travelling across Africa, I have heard and seen the impact of hip-hop as the engine of social and political change in a thriving, distinctive homemade scene. In this BBC World Service programme, I'll explore how hip-hop is shaping Africa today. This very potent music is derived from rhythms and rhymes that evolved in Africa and then travelled to America as the foundations for blues, jazz, gospel and R&B. Now that music is making the reverse journey in force.
Clap your hands, everybody, if you got what it takes. Cause I'm Curtis Blow and I want you to know that these are the boys.
Hip-hop emerged from the streets of the Bronx in New York City in the 1970s, when gangs of youths staged block parties, playing music on large sound systems. Activists used the occasion to recite street poetry over the intro to classic disco and R&B records, taking the language of the underprivileged, parading it, and making it attractive to the point where people took pride in their style of music. In 1984, a local Bronx entrepreneur, Russell Simmons, spotted the potential for hip-hop and began hosting club nights featuring leading lights in the new scene, all of whom were friends and family from socially deprived backgrounds.
Most people think, you know, when they're coming out of struggle, like the rap community did, like the early blues, like the early jazz, like the early rock and roll, they thought it was okay. Chuck Berry had a red suit and a red Cadillac, you know. There was nothing wrong with that. He didn't have no holy jeans on. So that's a rap mission, you know, to get out of poverty.
And yesterday you lost your job.
It was our mission to get up out of the struggle. Still today, rappers talk about it, you know, give me mine, I'ma take it. Because that's the attitude they had before they made rap records. You can't get more rock and roll than that. Well, that's rap. We make what we want to make and we sell it. And if it's honest, it sells. And if it touches a heart, because if it's, I'm coming from the hood, if I have a certain development and it's in me, then certainly it can be touched in you, you know, because we come from the same struggle.
Russell teamed up with Rick Rubin, who had built a reputation as a talented producer, blending different styles of music, which he created in his dormitory room at New York University. Rick loved punk and heavy rock and fell in love with the passion he saw in hip-hop.
I always felt that hip-hop was very close to punk rock. Punk rock took music out of the arena and back onto the street, and you didn't have to be a guitar virtuoso to play punk rock. And hip hop took music out of the great players and the great singers, and anybody who had an idea could do it. It was street-based music, and I saw the kids who liked punk and the kids who liked rap as similar, except the ones who liked rap were black and the ones who liked punk were white. It seemed like there was a more open feeling towards rap than there was towards punk. So it felt like the same energy as punk, but it had some form of community and acceptance around it.
Russell and Rick launched a record label they called Def Jam and began releasing tracks featuring bands in the local hip-hop scene. Over the next few years, Def Jam acts like LL Cool J, Run-DMC, Beastie Boys and Public Enemy led the hip-hop expansion across the globe. 2 years ago, a friend of mine asked me to say some MC rhyme. So I said this rhyme I'm about to say. The rhyme was there, but then it went this way. For most early fans of hip-hop in Africa, the music was an evocative window into a world they had only heard about on the radio and read about in magazines. For Kenyan DJ Edu, that imagery was very powerful.
Most of the songs that came out at the time could tell stories, so you've never been to a place. You would actually picture it in your mind. And just that picture that you got of, you know, what New York was, how the streets were, what was happening in the clubs, just gave you a different perspective on life and what other people experienced somewhere else without having traveled there. I got a big long cat and not like a Seville,
and written right on the side, and read just the guilt. So if you see me, Edu, and many like him, found that while hip-hop music was inspired by the rhythms of life on the streets of New York, the lyrical style of rapping was a modern extension of the ancient art of storytelling.
For me, hip-hop was more like a continuation. My grandma always sat us down and told us poems and told us stories, and there were always people going around telling us all these stories which always passed down from our forefathers. So when you added music to it and you could express it in such a way that young people could catch on it, because when your grandma's telling you something, you're like, ah, she's old, what does she know? But when somebody breaks it down in a way that you understand using a medium like music that you can really catch on to, I think for me that's what made me feel like, yo, hip-hop is really big for me.
The youth culture reflected in the lyrics written by some of the more socially aware hip-hop stars were inspirational for young hopefuls like Ghanaian Manifest.
You can't learn storytelling, but you can cultivate what makes you a better storyteller, which is listening, being able to experience a wide variety of people, situations and music that allows you to tell stories in much more clever ways. So for me, for instance, being able to be exposed to more proverbs, being able to use language in a much more powerful and compelling way to tell those stories. You know they got me trapped in this prison of seclusion. Happiness living on the streets is a delusion. Even a smooth criminal one day must get caught. Shot up or shot down with the bullet that he bought. 9 millimeter kicking. I got to know about the stories of many people that in many places that I had not experienced. That was a powerful thing, whether I was coming from the West Coast or New York or Savannah, Georgia. And then later on, being exposed to hip-hop that was made in Ghana, which made it more immediate for me. Ghana wants to be internationally heard, or so I hear, but we cheat and don't treat each other fair. Some of the most powerful music was the ones with very powerful messages. If I look at Queen Latifah's UNITY and Tupac, who very much is in the psyche of those of us who grew up around that time and listening to hip-hop, was full of those messages. Nas, the poetry of his music and rap, and that of Notorious B.I.G., his ability to tell a story, craft one out of reality and fantasy. So those that had a clear and powerful messages definitely were the hip-hop that attracted me the most.
Producer Rab Bakary was at the heart of the hip-hop scene in New York City from the beginning. And when he realized the potential for the music to make an impact in Africa, he moved there to work with local musicians.
There was a period from 88 to about 92 when there was this conscious rap. Like,
we need to acknowledge ourselves of children of the continent of Africa, wherever you come from the 50 plus nation states and stuff. In Johannesburg, there was a group called Prophets of the City. In Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, there was a group called X-Blasters, who had this whole Kiswahili Maasai type of style and rap. In Accra, Ghana, it was only Reggie Rockstone. That's why they call him the godfather of hip life, because before him, there was nobody else doing it in Accra. Later, there was Idris in Lagos, and then Positive Black Soul, and Dara G, and P-Froid in Dakar. And then there's a group in Guinea-Conakry that rapped in French, you know, Susu language in Guinea-Conakry. They were called Kill Point. This is all like in the early, mid-90s.
One of the most influential moments for early African hip-hop was when the group Public Enemy performed in Ghana in 1992. The band had forged a rebellious reputation, and their socio-political music had extra poignancy when playing to an African crowd, as Public Enemy's founder Chuck D remembers.
You could be rebellious, you could be defiant, but you're still black, and the first thing that's going to come to mind is slavery and jail. So we had to step it up even more so and really, really be punkish, but defiant, and also be intelligent at the same time, which defies, I guess, the average musician core. Because they think musicians just do music, have a good time, get chicks, and, you know, call it a day. And we wanted to present something different.
The power of Public Enemy's performance influenced a new generation of Africans and encouraged them to find their voice regionally and nationally. And hip-hop flourished. DJ Edu again.
Back in the day, there wasn't access to a lot of videos, but what would happen was people would listen to those songs and relate those problems and issues to the issues that they had in their own countries, because this was a way in which you could actually spread a message without having to go through a board, through politics or anything. You could just speak, and obviously speak to your age mates and the people you're facing the problems with. And I guess because the youth, when you check the statistical figures now, the youth actually more in Africa. The average age, like for Cameroon, is 14 years. I mean, the youth actually more than the older folk. But because of how politics is in Africa, it's really hard to find young people having a voice. So hip hop was the biggest vehicle for us to actually spread the messages and our frustrations, because when you tell your parents, they're like, come on, man, you're still young, you still have time to grow up, but the frustrations are with you. So I think hip hop really did carry our message across.
Here we go.
Musicians and politicians both realized the potential for hip hop to engage a young audience.
From the early 2000s, hip-hop had already started being so big, because I remember in Kenya, there was a group called Giddy Giddy Maji Maji.
What the hell is you looking for? Can I young Luo make money anymore? Shake your feet, baby girl, and I'm on. Maji Maji Nyakua, don't you know I'm a Luo, but who are you?
They created a song called Unborgable, which means unstoppable and indispensable.
Do I know you? Get the hand, I drove my face because, hey, I am unborgable.
And a politician actually used that song for their campaign and won the campaign because they won over the youth.
The power of hip-hop to propel social change was evident during recent political upheaval across Africa, which inspired an explosion of revolutionary rap that introduced local hip-hop artists to the world. Angolan rapper Iconoclasta used his music to mobilize opposition to the ruling government during recent elections. In Mali, rap collective Les Sofas de la République provided the sounds and symbols of a nation's defiance. Deeb was one of many prominent artists in Egypt who used their music to chronicle the unrest.
Microphone sahbi bi abda sarahti,
Tunisian El General recorded songs critical of the ruling elite. And in Somalia, rapper Kanaan used his music to highlight the plight of locals caught up in political revolution.
I spit it for my block, it's an ode. I admit it here, the city code is lock and load. Any minute it's rock and roll, and you rock and roll. And feel your soul leaving, it's just the wrong glance that'll leave you not breathing. I'm not.
In Sudan, hip hop has been a powerful weapon against tyranny for Emmanuel Jarl. A young campaigner determined to use his music to force change in the war-torn country.
I believe I've survived for a reason to tell my story, to touch lives.
I did not connect that much into the dance scene of hip-hop.
I believe I've survived for a reason to tell my story, to touch lives.
I was drawn by those with the message, where you find a rapper will say he's being chased by the police. They will talk about their neighborhood on crime, and they'll talk of how they're surviving.
My father was working for the government as a policeman. A few years later, I heard he joined a rebel movement that was formed to fight for freedom. I didn't understand the politics behind all this because I was only a child.
I can actually use this as a platform to speak the causes I believe in. Because I was more doing it for fun and listening to others, but when I was influenced by Martin Luther King, by Gandhi, Nelson Mandela, and many other positive people out there, the politicians that are trying to do good. The war that I grew up in took all my aunties, including my mom, took my uncles except two. Then I became a child soldier.
I lost my father and mother in this battle. My brothers too perish in this struggle. All my life.
Then now when I thought it's all calm again that we're beginning to start, our government turned its guns on civilians and refused to become democratic and fabricated the situation that was a coup. In the process, 1,000 died.
Now I thought I couldn't wanna die.
My hometown has been burned down by government.
Now we can send mankind to the moon, and we can reach to the bottom of the sea. That's why it really kind of baffles me that we cannot end wars and bring peace, and we cannot.
I don't have a freedom of speech in my country. I can't speak, but after I open my mouth, I'll be dead.
Civilization will soon be extinct. That's why I am.
I use music as a therapy.
Let's scream and shout, cause we want peace.
But also to support the causes I believe in.
The least, I dedicate this song to the common people caught in the middle of this common evil.
Even though hip-hop is crossing borders in Africa, some of the most effective music is still localized. Lady P is project manager for Hip Hop Kazlam in Cape Town, South Africa, which encourages the use of local dialects.
We're mostly working with artists who write and perform in an African vernacular language, including Xhosa, Sesotho, isiZulu, Afrikaans, Afrikaans, and Swahili, and various languages which are indigenous to our continent. Hip-hop as a subculture is important to the communities in Cape Town. It's how we connect, it's how we network with each other, it's how we see each other on the same level. It's become a preservation of our languages.
Someone with a unique perspective on the fusion of music that is evolving across Africa is actor, producer and DJ Idris Elba, who is of Sierra Leonean and Ghanaian descent and regularly spends time in Africa absorbing the local scene.
I spent a long time in South Africa making Mandela. And while I was there, I was sort of exposed to the music scene from Durban to Cape Town to Joburg and the various influences within the music, you know, from the Kwaito house to sort of South African hip-hop. And I was just sort of like taken over by the love for music, the depth of their music, the different sounds, the influences of American and English and European music, but then how that was very much still sounded like South African music. I had a small studio system. I always carry a little keyboard and my laptop and make music. And, you know, I worked with a few musicians as well while I was out there, and I was like, you know what, I want to come back and I want to find a way to express what it's like to be in South Africa making this particular movie at this particular time. I spent almost a month there in a studio and we just made songs with musicians.
And did you feel like you were creating a new sound?
It was a discovery, you know, just discovering what we each liked and then threw that into a studio in jam sessions and started coming up with melodies. And these melodies and rhythms and songs were very sort of unique to that room, unique to the personalities, the cultures, you know.
Producer Silverstone is another West African artist who is excited by the potential for different cultural scenes in Africa to collaborate.
A lot of people don't realise that most of Africa is French-speaking. So there's untapped French rappers that English rappers don't know about in Afrobeat. So you find now there are more Afrobeat artists collaborating.
Silverstone B.
Yeah.
I've just done a collaboration with Sarkodie, and being a Sierra Leonean and half Ghanaian, my Sierra Leonean half or fans have been like, wow, oh my gosh, you've done a song with Sarkodie, who's the biggest rapper in Africa. A lot of artists have grown bigger than their countries. The scene is growing so much, it's international.
I paved the way for all of y'all, you compare me to Moses. I'm repping Africa, you weak, you can lean on my shoulders. Yes, I told you.
Many American stars with African heritage are now actively seeking out and promoting talent to take to an international audience. Senegalese rapper Akon was one of the first hip-hop stars to become successful in America, and he often returns to Africa, continuing to build a loyal following, while also seeking out new talent to sign to his own label, Convict Music. DJ Edu.
Africans really, really latched onto him. They were like, yo, he's one of our own, he comes back. And he then decided to start signing African artists. He signed a kid off the street.
These streets remind me of quicksand.
Like literally, this kid had a dream. He took him to the limo, they got him some clothes, took him to the hotel, and he brought him on stage and they're like, yo, this is your time. He was doing a gig in Nairobi, Kenya at the carnival. If you rock this crowd, if they like you, you're a new member. The Convict family. And he was comical, he was funny, he had attitude, you know, the whole hip-hop thing, you know. He's obviously been watching music videos, and Akon is like, yo, you're the new member of the Convict family. And for me, that was really touching, because we went back to the hotel, he was sitting with Akon, it was like a dream for him. So I'm glad Akon does such kind of things, because that shows that hip-hop is not just a fad, it's literally a movement, a worldwide movement.
For many artists, their success allows them to give something back to their local communities. Fuse ODG has enjoyed commercial success and critical acclaim for his This Is New Africa initiative.
TINA is not just about the music. It consists of movemakers in music, business, fashion, and technology as well. Movemakers, you know, outside of the continent doing their thing. So many different sectors that, you know, TINA encapsulate in their vision and their mission to create awareness of the different side of Africa that the media don't show. For me to be able to talk about Africa, for me to be able to bring music from Africa, and for people to accept it, it's amazing, because this is the same place that the media is saying it's such a negative place to be at, but yet the music that we're bringing out of there is making you dance, is making you happy.
Years after Def Jam was formed, it has become one of the most influential record labels in the world, still searching for new hip-hop talent. In Africa, the label's marketing manager is Vincent Utuli.
Most of the guys, they still aspire to sound like America or to make it in America and in Europe. So because of that, they compromise their sound and try to make it commercial, you know, so that people overseas can relate to it. I think if they bring it home and be more original, I think the world is ready to hear the African sound in its originality without being compromised.
When I hear a song from Africa and it sounds like New York, I'm like, nah, I don't understand. But if I hear a song from Africa and it sounds like Africa, sounds like Accra, sounds like Freetown, and people are speaking in their own, and I learn something from that hip-hop. It doesn't matter if it's bling hip-hop or it's social hip-hop, but it needs to sound like where they come from.
For the rappers and the hip-hop guys, it's not just about the bling for them. They know that as soon as they finish rapping, they will drive down the road and they'll see people that love them, but they don't have shoes. People have their music, but don't have clothes. You understand? They have a mobile phone with their album on it, but don't have food. So they're always reminded that there are social issues around them. Government not helping, you know, corporations not helping. So I think it plays on the conscience of African rappers, hip-hoppers, even the pop artists. And so there's always going to be a social word or two in their music because it's right at their doorstep.
Rap brings people home. Music brings people home, but rap brings people home while describing or detailing the suffering of a whole generation of people. They find the common ground in their music, and then they find that their suffering is the same, and their solutions could be the same. And so rap is bringing that together, has always been bringing that together. You find the sameness in all humans, but you know, the human experience separates them. But music and melody will bring them together again.
Freedom.